Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
Hi, I'm Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining me. You know, I'm a fractional CMO, and I do work with a lot of different organizations. And ultimately, when we look at tactical execution, social media, some kind of social execution comes up. The problem I have is a lot of times companies just really lack the experience or the wherewithal, if you will, to really implement a strong social media program. And so today at my guest is Neil Schaefer, social media expert and social media agency owner, joins me in the studio cafe to explore the impact of social media. And hopefully we're going to offer some great suggestions, maybe solutions to our audience as we go through the program. Neil, welcome.
Thank you very much, Angelo. It's an honor to be here. Just a beautiful day today, isn't it? Beautiful day for business growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Southern California, at least it's not the 100 that we've had for a while.
Indeed.
Where I live, it was about 80 today. A couple days ago, it was 110, I think, when I got in my car. So it was just a little toasty.
Yep.
So to get things started, why don't we take a few minutes, tell the audience about yourself, about your business, to give everybody, the audience, a perspective of who you are.
Sure. I am a local business owner based here in Orange County in the beautiful city of Irvine. I am a what you would call a social media strategist, social media consultant, but really it covers all the marketing because social media, digital does not exist in a silo. Mm-hmm. So I help companies really better leverage digital and social media marketing. There are some companies that just want to, in fact, how I started my company was about 10 years ago. I wrote a book, spoke at some conferences, and it was for local companies here in Orange County. They reached out to me within the course of 2 weeks, all from different industries, saying, we don't get social, we need to get social, will you help us? Now, my background is more technology, B2B sales, biz dev marketing. So I wasn't an agency guy, right? Okay. And I'm thinking, this is not agency. What you need to do it yourself, and you need strategy, and you need training and education. And so I started what I call a social media strategy consulting company. So first 5 years of my company, launched in 2010, was purely on the consulting training side. Then I had opportunities in the agency side where companies, you know, they took the strategy and training. They didn't have the resources available. So they go, Neil, will you actually implement this for us? And that's where I launched PDCA Social, my agency. So I really, you know, some companies, they just want to, you know, utilize you for your ideas, do some coaching, you know, mm-hmm. hour at a time. I do that. To other companies, we're actually going to their office, you know, 4 hours a week here locally in Orange County. So, and, you know, from strategy to training and everything in between. I just want to be a resource. I have a unique understanding and a unique perspective that a lot of companies find refreshing. I'm very rational and practical at what I do. And when the right company finds me and we're the right fit, it's a great combination where I really help them get more ROI out of what they're doing in digital and social.
Okay. Yeah, and we were talking in the hallway because we actually just met. We've been communicating, but we just met. And I'm a fractional CMO, and you kind of called yourself a fractional social media person. I mean, it's what we do. We go into organizations. And it's interesting about the timing of you starting your business. I was leaving an agency at the time, and somebody made a comment about, well, what do you know about social media? And you don't know me, but my personality, well, I'm gonna figure this out. And so I actually went to UCI and their social media strategy program and actually, you know, became certified social media strategist. I didn't want to be the tweeting and the posting, but I wanted to be able to add that strategic aspect into all the other strategies because, to your point, it's not a silo. I believe in integrated marketing,
absolutely.
And I don't believe there's a silver bullet that solves all our problems. So I typically ask a few questions of all my guests. And the first one...
By the way, was that Myrna Bard your professor? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay, no worries. One of my books, Maximize Your Social, is actually used as a textbook for some of the programs there at UCI.
You know what? So, I'll have to go back and look. It's actually, now that you're talking about it, it sounds a little familiar. So when you think about growing, we'll talk about you for a minute.
Sure.
Think about growing your business. What keeps you up at night?
Leaving money on the table. So there are many businesses. So I think there's two different types of businesses, right? One, they need more attention. They need more brand awareness. They're not getting traffic to their website. They're not getting phone calls, but they have something great to offer and they need to get the word out, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you have other companies that already, people know them. They already have customers, but they're leaving money on the table because they're getting visits either offline, they're getting sales calls, or people are coming to their website, or they're finding Yelp reviews, whatever it is, but they're not closing as much business as they could be. I am in the latter, right? So I already have business, been doing this for a decade. I'm not a startup, but there's always more business to be had. I get a tremendous amount of website traffic. I have a tremendous amount of what I would like to think is good karma out there. And I have really only sold more to enterprises and corporations. So what keeps me up at night is I need to develop more products and services for the smaller startup, the smaller business owner, the individual marketer that wants to, you know, get to the next level so that they can get to the next level in their career. And that's what keeps me up at night is how do I monetize that large audience that I have instead of going a one-to-one, which is more of the enterprise marketing or an ABM, to more of like a one-to-many where I have a digital or whatever product that I can sell to many people. Mm-hmm. So that's currently what's keeping me up. It's a good thing to have. It's not, you know, I'm able to fall asleep at night and everything, but it is the one thing that I focus on that I need to do this. I need to do this fast. And that's currently what
I'm marching them. Do you have a subscription model for small businesses?
I mean, I do not. And that's one of the things. So okay. On a one-to-one basis, if companies contact me like yourself, we offer different types of programs depending on the company. So They're all custom priced enterprise packages. So I need to have something where people can just click on a button, PayPal, you know, credit card for however much, and subscribe to coaching, subscribe to whatever it is. And those are the things I'm working on developing right now.
Yeah. I had a research company in the action sports industry for a long time, and it was, we were always selling to the big companies, but all the small companies are like, well, I only really want, you know, information about skateboarding and trucks and wheels. So we started segmenting and basically created a subscription model where they could just pay a small fee every month and just get the data as it was produced. And it became a beautiful thing and a nice revenue stream.
Great.
The other question I ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever given and or received?
Well, there's one little nugget of business advice. So before I went on my own, I was corporate, B2B sales, biz dev marketing. And it was actually the second company that I worked for. Well, I guess I'm going to cheat and give you two little bits of advice. The first one was working for a Japanese semiconductor manufacturer. And I spent the first 15 years of my career in Japan, which is a whole other story. But at that time, this is the 90s, so I'm aging myself here. There was a really popular book in Japan with manufacturing industry called Reengineering. And reengineering was all about, we were in the business of manufacturing semiconductors. So we had to wait for forecast information from the Sonys and the Panasonics and the Samsungs. And then we had to manufacture based on that. And then we had buyers who were putting in buffers for their inventory and for their own goals, what have you. So we were never manufacturing, and inventory control was never at optimum, right? And this was a big struggle that cost the company a lot of money. Reengineering was like, hey, everything can be real time now. Let's just hook up our customers, you know, manufacturing systems computers to our manufacturing systems computers. And in real time, we can be understanding what their needs are and we can have the material ready. It just, you know, the potential to revolutionize the industry. And we're seeing that today, obviously, with the way that companies do business and manufacture in real time or just in time. So that led me, you know, later on in business, the name of my company is PDCA Social, right? Plan, Do, Check, Action, which comes from Professor Edwards Deming. And Professor Edwards Deming was considered the godfather of quality control. And everybody at this company that I worked at, right, and there were 2,000 of us at our headquarters in Kyoto, Japan, we all had to learn about Professor Edwards Deming and this concept of PDCA, that everything you do, you should have a plan for, you should do according to plan, you should check and then act upon that and optimize that. So that single thing has really impacted the way I do business, because when I created my first social media strategy for a client back in 2010, there were no frameworks, right?
Right.
So I thought, well, I need a framework. I need a rational approach. And that is the rational approach I took. That companies were doing social without a plan. They were just doing, they didn't know what to check. They didn't know what to optimize. And therefore, they couldn't figure out what the ROI is and how to improve upon that. The other one, the second one's a quick one, is the second company I worked at, a company called Wind River that was later bought out by Intel. The VP of strategy at a conference we went to said, you know, we were talking about our strategy for the next year. And he goes, you know, what I've realized in my career is that deciding what not to include in the strategy is almost as important as deciding what to include. So that less is more, 80-20.
Yeah.
You know, there are just certain things. If it's not strategic, don't spend any time on it. So yeah. I believe in rational systems, rational processes. I manage my clients' work the same way. And those two things have had a significant impact on my career.
All right. That's actually really good. I like that a lot. The So, which I didn't know. So I said we had some things in common. So about the same time you were working in semiconductors, I also actually was repping a semiconductor manufacturing piece of equipment out of the Netherlands called ASM Lithography.
Okay.
And so I was doing the marketing for them. And the other thing, which
like
is...
like printed circuit board?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly. And the other thing, though, is I noticed in one of the videos I watched, you're a drummer, and so am I.
Nice.
So I've been playing drums for since high school, and actually the last time I played drums was just a couple years ago.
Very cool.
So a lot of bands. So a lot of fun. I don't know. Are you still playing in any music?
I'm not, and I really want to get back into it. But yeah.
It's time, right?
It's also the, you know, in Japan where I picked up drums, there are tons of practice studios that have drum sets that you can rent and go in by yourself $5 an hour.
Wow.
To practice with in a real studio. We don't have that environment here.
No.
And that's...
that's the problem.
Exactly.
I remember just even a couple of years ago, I had my kid in my garage and had a couple guys over, and we were just, you know, going to town, and some guy's rapping on my garage door telling us to be quiet. He's going to call the cops on us. And I had to start laughing. It's like, man, I felt like I was back in high school.
Well, living in Irvine, they will not allow that.
yeah, exactly. So I started off talking about what I believe is that a lot of small to medium-sized businesses where I play, like 3 million to 75 million to 100 million, they really just don't understand how to use social and the expectations that they have. I mean, I pulled a bunch of stats, and I'm not going to sit here and read them all, but the amount of people that are on Facebook, the amount of people that are tweeting and have accounts, looking at Instagram, I mean, there's so much opportunity to connect and sell. But most companies just don't know how to do it. It's elusive to them. They get very frustrated. And so as a consultant in this world, when you're talking to companies, what has been, and really all over the world that you work with, but what has been some of the most consistent complaints, issues, problems that companies have implementing a strong program?
Well, first of all, the executive team doesn't do it themselves. So if you don't do it, you're not going to get it. Case in point, I've been podcasting. I have about 130-something episodes. But to be honest with you, I haven't been consistent, and I haven't seen the value in it until very recently. I've noticed my downloads have increased quite significantly. But you know what? I was never a listener of podcasts myself. So recently, I've become a passionate listener of podcasts. I've subscribed to about 10. They're marketing, you know, social media, what have you. And I realized I've been doing it all wrong, and I've been doing it for the wrong reasons. So now I'm sort of revitalized, and now that I'm going to be more effective because I know people's expectations when they podcast, what they want, and I know how to better leverage it for my own marketing. It's the same thing. Executives, they don't use it themselves, so they don't get how people use it and why they'd want to engage with them. They just see it as another way to advertise. So they don't know how to use it, and then they start using it in the wrong way, and then it's ineffective, and it requires people, right? I mean, it you can't just automate it. It requires you hiring people or an agency, what have you. Or the other one is they just hire a young intern. Well, they get it. They're young. And they don't get the business side of it, right?
Yeah, exactly,
So they lead them down the wrong path. Those are really the biggest issues. And, you know, when I meet, I remember a pretty famous I'd say garden supply store that I work with here locally in Orange County. I remember talking with the CEO, and it was very early in social media days, but we had the conversation. He's like, well, what's the ROI of all this? I'm like, what's the ROI of all the ads in the print magazine you do, right? So at some point, generations change. Okay, my daughter started high school, and it's the first time we're like, wow, all the staff is really young, right? Generations change, and every few years, you really got to take a step back, look at your marketing spend. How are we spending our money, and is it in touch with the way people consume media? Because the way people consume media now is very different than it was 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
And, you know, way different than it was growing up. So what are people doing? First of all, people are digital first. You have to realize, you may not be digital first. You may still have an America Online account, but everybody else is digital first, right? And when they are digital first, what are they doing? They're searching, they're reading emails and texts, and they're on social media. And the number one thing they do is they're on social media. Mm-hmm. So if you want to reach people, you really need to do all three of these things. Not to say that offline events can be extremely powerful. It's the yin and yang. It's all integrated, right?
What's that integration? Exactly.
And
right.
You can keep doing the print ads that might be effective, but guess what? The digital, the social is all measurable. That's the beautiful thing about it, right? You can see everything.
Well, even if you look at some of the publications, I had the CEO of Orange Coast Magazine on, and one of the things he was talking about was the integration of print and to the digital world and this combination of packages that he's offering.
QR codes.
I see it more and more and more. The So it's an interesting when I talk to a lot of companies and I look, you know, I look at their target audience. Who are you trying to reach? You know, what are, I mean, right down to the ages, because I think to you alluded to it, and I want to go pick up on this a little bit more. If I'm talking to somebody that's in their 20s and 30s as a director of marketing or a CEO of a company, the way they consume information is very different if I'm talking to someone who's in their 60s, right? And so I think that gets back to the personas and things like that that I always argue with clients that, no, job titles are not a persona. You really need to dig down and understand why they're buying, how they're buying, what's their interactions with you and your brand. Because I look at a driving engagement, not just likes and shares. That's great. You know, I posted a video not too long ago of a guest, and she got like 2,500 views. And then I went and looked at my analytics, and not a single person clicked over. So she got a lot of views. I got nothing.
Yeah, there's a song in my head, "You're So Vain." It's all vanity numbers, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it comes down to conversions. And that's where I think a lot of companies, and when you hire someone that's younger, that's like, oh, you know, they're competing with their friends to get the most likes on Instagram. That doesn't generate business. Now, engagement is a tactic, right? Because there are algorithms that determine what you see in the feed. So you want to get engagement in order to be seen in the feed. Mm-hmm. But it's not the goal. It's an ends. It's a mean to reach your end goal, but that's not the thing you should be focusing on, right? It's obviously, you know, what is the business value? A like has zero business value. So that's really where you need to have a very, very rational approach. And there's a lot of bad advice out there about social media, man. I mean, for the last decade, I've seen it. You have to, if as an executive, you are talking to someone about digital or social, and if it doesn't make sense to you, you're talking to the wrong person. It has to make sense from a business perspective.
Mm-hmm. So give me a story. Tell me a story about a successful engagement with a client.
So when I launched my agency, I'm like, okay, I help companies with zero brand awareness because I focused on starting with Japanese companies. I do business in Japan, and I have a niche in helping Japanese companies with their English digital social online. So one company in particular, they were a startup. Now, they were test marketing, but they were focusing on creating products and services to help reduce people getting Alzheimer's disease later in life. Very specific, focused on science and data. Mm-hmm. And all they had was a landing page. And the landing page was a quiz. So based on data that's publicly available, that they created basically an algorithm and a quiz for, based on this, they can give you a score as to what are the chances you're going to get Alzheimer's later in life. Backed by data, but also advice on how to reduce that risk. Reduce cholesterol. I mean, there's a lot of things you can be more active and what have you. So they started with absolutely zero brand awareness. My agency said, okay, we're gonna launch you on Twitter and Facebook. Those are the two. This is a little bit before Instagram became as popular as it is today. It was very clear who the demographic was. We obviously had paid ad spend as well, but we were able to, within 3 months, the Dr. Oz show reached out to us, you know, national TV,
right.
Say, we want to feature this quiz on our, you know, nationally syndicated TV show. And I think that was an example. This company was very successful in a very, very small time with a very, very little budget about building a very, very targeted email list, which then they were able to introduce and obviously help them with the email and the segmentation and automation of, you know, launching products and services to them. So I created a concept called social media growth hacking because I believe that any company in any industry, obviously there's different competition levels that you have, but within 6 months, I do believe that within that industry, you can yield somewhat thought leadership. To be seen above your competitors in that industry from a social media perspective, mm-hmm. if you do things the right way. You see startups on Instagram that solely use influencers. That's 100% of the marketing budget that become big businesses almost overnight using some of these similar concepts. So okay. It's all possible. It can be as accelerated as you want it to be. There is a paid component you need, unfortunately. Organic social just does not go viral like it used to.
Right.
So whether it's paid social, working with influencers, my current passion is the influencer economy. I'm writing a book.
There you go. That's my next question. I'm going right there, right?
So that's where that leads to. And that's what I'll be talking about for those listening at the American Marketing Association Orange County presentation as well. But yeah, that's if you're going to spend money, I'd rather you spend it on content or I'd rather you spend it on people, on collaborators. And from a B2B perspective, we call them centers of influence, partners, mm-hmm. alliance partners. From a B2C perspective, we call them quote-unquote influencers.
Okay. So for the audience that might not really understand market influencers. Why don't you explain the difference between, you know, what is an influencer, basically?
I mean, influencers, anybody that's going to help. They have an audience, and that audience listens to them and trusts them, and they are going to help introduce your company to potentially more business or more leads, depending on what industry you're in. So in the past, influencers were, I mean, we can go back in history, but, you know, it's celebrity endorsements, basically. It is a celebrity. It's you know, Charlie Chaplin, you know, doing advertisements, or Babe Ruth for tobacco, or Michael Jordan for Air Nike, or Michael Jackson with Pepsi. It's celebrity endorsement. But we consume information differently. So mm-hmm. there's been a democratization of how we consume media. I mean, you know, OC Talk Radio is a great example. When I was, you know, before the internet, it did not have a chance for community radio stations like this to actually be heard. Well, anybody can be heard now, right? I started blogging about LinkedIn in 2008, and, you know, 2009, I'm getting email from all over the world, people that found my blog. You know, I found, you know, I created a tribe in the word of Seth Godin, and anybody can do that now. So as a business, you want to tap into people that have those tribes, or, you know, from a B2B perspective, that have influence. Now, in social media marketing, we refer to influencers as people that have online influence. Anywhere from down to a nano influencer having 500 connections or 500 followers on Instagram. Do 20, 30, 40, 50 of them actually listen to that person? And if so, we can leverage those community leaders to help push our agenda forward in a collaborative manner when you do influencer marketing the right way.
Okay. All right. Is this where you tend to have concentrate more recently? I mean, because you're writing the book, and I look at, you know, you look at your nav on your website, and there's some very distinct verticals of things that you do.
Indeed. I have always focused my business on what is the need in the market. So the first need was social media strategy. I did that, wrote a book, Maximize Your Social. The next need was tools. I created something called the Social Tool Summit, which I did for 2 years. We had four events. We helped, you know, more than 1,000 attendees. If you include virtual, maybe we helped 2,000, you know, marketing executives decide on best practices for leveraging marketing technology for social media marketing. After that, I think the most questions that I get are not only how to utilize influencers for influencer marketing, but also I have a lot of marketers saying, hey, my neighbor is now a YouTuber, 19-year-old that just bought $1 million house here in Tustin. True story. How do I yield more influence? Or salespeople that might take a social selling training from me, but they say, how do I yield more influence in my industry? So I think the concept of online influence, whether it is from the person that wants to yield it or the company that wants to leverage influencers. And also when you look at just how social media, the algorithms, it's becoming pay to play, why spend money on advertising if Facebook is becoming just a paid media platform? It's not social media anymore.
Right.
You know, influencer marketing really is the future of social media. So that's where I think the future is going. And there's already been companies, Lush, the cosmetics company, Lush UK already announced they're stopping organic social media. They're going to let their customers and influencers talk for them. They get more seen in the algorithm, what have you. So I think that definitely is the future. People do not trust brands. They don't trust ads, but they trust people. And we've seen Nielsen and all the different reports over the years. It's time to leverage that. And with this democratization of media consumption, it's the perfect storm. And those companies that leverage people, collaborate with people, I think are gonna get further heard, and their business is gonna go forward a lot more than those that are just ignoring the space.
All right, well, I'm gonna have to make that the final comment.
Man,
the time just flew by, but this has been great, and I think I'm going to have to get you on the show again if you're open to doing that.
That'd be great.
So, why don't you, Neil, tell the audience how they can reach you and all that good stuff?
Sure. Well, I am Neil Schaefer everywhere, so that's N-E-A-L, like the real Neil. Don't spell it like the Starbucks baristas will spell it, like N-I-E-L or K-N-E-E-L. Last name is Schaefer, S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R. Really, that's where my brand is everywhere. I decided my best brand was really my name. On iTunes, my podcast is called Maximize Your Social with Neil Schaefer. I have a few books up on Amazon. My next book, Age of Influence, is going to be published with HarperCollins in March of next year. And hopefully I'll see you at UCI this Saturday for the American Marketing Summit.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, especially this one that'll go up fairly soon, or sign up to receive more information at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd love the opportunity to explore the benefits of working with a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to introduce the show to others And you can find us at any place you can find podcasts. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.